Call to order. Roll call, please.
Okay. All right. Chad Picard.
Here.
Joan Clark.
Present.
Garth Baldwin is absent. Zach Schwick.
Here.
Paul Freeman.
Good morning.
And Michael King.
Here.
All right. Well, Madam Chair, I wanted just to take a moment here to welcome our newest board member, Michael King. Apparently you passed the interview session with the City Council, so apparently you had the right stuff. I thought we could just maybe do a quick round of introductions, starting with Joan down here on the end. We'll put Joan on the spot first, how about, since I'd love to do that.
I'm Joan. I live in Blaine with my husband. I've lived here about 12 years now. Been on the Parks Board twice. Enjoy contributing to the city, doing the service. Believe in green spaces. That's it.
Jan Picard. I've lived here about 26 years and love parks. So that's why I'm here.
My name is Zach Shirk. I've lived here about 9 months now. I work at Pusarch State Park, so I also like parks. So I decided to join the board.
I'm Paul Freeman. I grew up in Blaine. I enjoy all the parks. My focus where I'm most plugged in is the skate park. So you came along. I was the newest member of the board. Welcome.
Paul's no longer the new guy.
My name is Mike King. I have lived in Blaine, well, forever, except I was gone for 4 years in the Army. But other than that, well, I did 2 years at Point Roberts as part of my job at the sheriff's office. But other than that, lived here forever, fifth generation, just figured I'd get involved. I'm done coaching now, so now I'm going to get involved in parks.
So, welcome, guys. Good to have you. And Paul. Paul's quite neat.
Well, and I'm Alex Winger. We met briefly, spoke for a couple minutes, but and to my left here is Sam Castro. Maybe we could just jump right to that, since our audience participation looks to be a little light this morning. But Sam is our new Assistant Public Works Director. Been here for a couple weeks now, three, four weeks or so. And maybe Sam, you could just tell us a little bit about, you know, where you're coming from and just a little bit about yourself. That'd be great.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you. I'm great to be part of this wonderful team. And before I begin discussing a little bit about myself, I want to thank Alex and applaud his efforts for working with you and having a very strong understanding of his vision. And so there is a transition where I'm going to be overseeing some of the responsibilities in parks and taking a look at the tools that he has provided, and what an exceptional job. And so he's going to make my job very easy, to be totally honest with you. And so a little bit about me. I've been a public servant for nearly 30 years. I dedicated my career to public service. Joined the city of Bellevue at the age of 21 and worked 20 years for Public Works. I was recruited by Mayor Lewis in Auburn, and I spent nearly 8 years working for Mayor Lewis, growing his community from 40,000 to 80. I recently came from Pondere County as a Public Works Director, where one of my roles was directly overseeing parks. It was quite an honor for me to work with the Park Board and understand their direction, their vision, and their needs. I was very successful in bringing funding to the park by managing their county lands and implementing a timber management program where we logged for health reasons and generated nearly $500,000 in funding for projects. I was also very successful in reaching out to the Recreation Conservation Office in Washington State. They're very proactive in offering grants for projects, and so I leveraged our $500,000 and recently completed a project prior to my departure, and it was about a 4-mile equestrian trail. In addition to that, like many of you, I really enjoy the little ones, the children. I've been a Little League coach in the King County area. I've been trained to coach by the Toronto Blue Jays. And recently in Pendre County, there was a huge need to implement a Little League program because our high school kids were getting pummeled. We were in the north area where we still had snow on the field, and games were started, and we were competing with areas like Spokane. And it was difficult for me to see these kids who really didn't have a Little League system in place compete at that level. And so the community came to me and said, we need a Little League president. Will you help us? And so within a year, I implemented a Little League program where 365 kids participated in our communities. Those kids have now gone through our high school programs. And for the first year this year, the sophomores that came through were competitive. And so I'm grateful to be here. My transition is with Blaine. There's no doubt in my mind that the community and the city employees recognize that we are being found, meaning, for example, the Marine Park. It's not just our local community folks that are using that park. My grandkids live in Everson, and I heard a wonderful story before I joined you through my daughter. And so there's a lot of moms utilizing Facebook, and they want to come here. I recently, last week, for example, visited Lincoln Park due to a garbage concern, and I came across the Whatcom County Disc Golf Committee, who, in essence, was picking up an enormous amount of garbage. And that was really cool to see. I've already worked with some of you, including your interest, Mr. Freeman, in the skate park. I know that we had a skate jam last Saturday, and it was very successful because we have dedicated folks like yourself that have a strong interest to promote recreation in our community. I was also present on Monday when our newest member of the board, came forward and shared his vision with the board and his interest to participate with us. And so I'm very grateful. And so I hope to meet the expectations that you all have of me, and looking forward to the challenges that we may face together. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, well, we're very excited to have Sam on board. He just brings tremendous experience and expertise, and I don't know if you guys caught that, but there is a significant transition occurring where our community development services will no longer be managing parks and operations, and that will be transitioned to our public works department, which is going to be overseen by Sam. So Sam manages, actually all of the crew over there. Not just parks. And I think it really works in a lot of different ways. They have the people and the trucks and the tools, and so I think it will just make it much more of a more streamlined process. So,
Sam, I have two things. Are you at Public Works or are you in the planning department?
I am the assistant public works director, and so I'm within Public Works. And so, as Alex is explaining, under our new leadership, the direction is that they felt that we could better support the parks because there's some bigger visions for Alex, our planning director.
Right.
And so I know that Alex has a strong interest in supporting this area, but truly there's some bigger and higher expectations as a director in planning. And this is why I feel totally responsible to not let him down or let you folks down. Okay, he's done a marvelous job.
And when you said you were from Pendre County, are we talking Idaho?
Great question. We frequently get confused with Pendre because there are actually two Pendres, one in Idaho and one in Washington. So I work for Pendre County, Washington.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Thank you.
So with that, I thought, we have our agenda up here, and I think we can stick to that. We don't really have too many new items to bring forward to you. But I did actually want to talk a little bit about staff maintenance or 2018 maintenance and staffing. Boy, there's just a lot going on with that right now. I mean, I think the board knows, it might be helpful to refresh with some of our newer members that we have one seasonal crew person that works, you know, every day, 40 hours a week, but they're seasonal, so they only work 4 months. And then, so they'll be done sometime around September or October. I'm not exactly sure when that cutoff was again, but and then the city council funded a part-time year-round position in addition to that. So someone that will be working a little bit less than 20 hours a week year-round. And so like in the winter, we would actually have somebody to, you know, clean up some of the trails or do some of that work, you know, that really hasn't happened before. You know, in addition to that, we have, so that's actually it for the city. That's all the park maintenance personnel we have. We were able to purchase a new vehicle and some basic hand tools, but really it's almost like the start of a mini parks department, really, and that's a person and a half. Yeah, and so that hasn't been there before, so we're really excited to have those resources, but there's just so much to do, and maybe you could talk about a minute about like how you see the level of maintenance and our ability to meet those maintenance needs. I think is the challenge associated with that in just a second. But then of course the other thing we do is we have our Clean Cut program. I think you guys are all familiar with Clean Cut, but that's our groundskeeper. So in addition to that, we hire Clean Cut, which is a local landscaping company essentially, and they mow all the lawns and empty out the garbage cans, and you know they also work for the city, essentially the streets department, and they you know, manicure the streetscape and so forth. So they kind of have a split contract. So that's just a quick overview, but maybe Sam could address, you know, we talked briefly about this, but I think you're seeing a lot of maintenance needs, and it's challenging to meet all those needs, and maybe you could just kind of summarize your thoughts on that quickly with the board and just kind of give them some more understanding of that.
Interesting, so thank you. Parks are very critical to communities. One of the things that I'm learning is that, you know, there are a lot of families, honestly, that are no longer vacationing. I heard this about a year ago when I was listening to a news broadcast that many of us are being considered staycationers. And it's because we want to stay local. We don't really have the funding sometimes to take our trips to Disneyland. And so our communities are requesting park and recreation activities within their city limits or within their counties. And so there's a huge demand. And so we have a tough job to do together because, in my opinion, there is a level of service standards out there in the community, and their expectations at times could be higher than the funding or the resources that we may have. And so it is my job to make certain to ensure that we prioritize our maintenance and that we reduce and eliminate liability. We have some parks that, you know, we're inviting some folks, particularly at the Marine Park. I don't see a lot of liability issues, but I am very aware. I'll be out periodically making certain that if we have some needs in the form of liability, that those things are addressed. I've been out patrolling some of these areas trying to help us determine some of our priorities, and so I'm grateful for that. As far as maintenance goes, the summertime is very critical. The springtime is very critical because we have the vegetation growth, and vegetation grows so fast in this particular area. And so it's challenging, and I think we overcome those challenges working together so that we can plant the seed with the councils. You are an advisory board. And so we're going to work very closely with you so that we can provide you the information you need so that we utilize you as our liaison to communicate to the city council what we see our needs are. I believe that our council is very interested in learning from us, learning from you, what your interests are so that we can work together and budget funding for the projects that we have. So, I think that they've made a commitment. Alex has done a great job. We have a new track. That demonstrates to me that we have a group that wants to work with us and understands the significance of the parks. And then not only the significance, but I really appreciate this community recognizing that recreation is for two-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 60-year-olds, and 80-year-olds. And I just love that, okay? In Pendere County, we were really concentrating in adult recreation, ATVs, horse riding, and what have you. We did not have enough recreation for some of the smaller folks. And so I hope to strike a balance. And I hope that you can help me strike that balance.
So there's a lot of stuff going on here in the city too. We've been building a number of projects. We have every year it seems like we're building a new park facility, and it's easy to, it's not easy, but it's it's one thing to pay those one-time expenses to build the facility, but then we have to maintain them, and those are reoccurring costs that happen again and again and again. So as we continue to add to our inventory of pretty amazing park facilities, it's just the inventory, the maintenance levels just continue to grow and grow and grow. So we're experiencing that demand and that uptick in maintenance. And one of the things that we've been able to do is leverage some volunteer work and some work parties. So just to report, I wish I had some more pictures to share with you, but I wasn't able to get those taken, but we're working with the Healthy Youth Coalition, teamed up with North Bay Christ the King Church, and they were able to go into the amphitheater in Marine Park, and they basically cleaned it all up and washed it down, and then they took it upon themselves, working with the city to they power sanded all the wooden benches in there and restained them all. And so that was really quite needed, and we were able to leverage some work from our crew to get in there and power wash some of the stuff off, like the fence and the stage, and they're intending to continue that work, and they want to start painting the stage and continue to paint the railing around there. So that's just one example where we got a lot of work done with volunteers. And I think the disc golf course, too, is another one where there was hundreds and hundreds of hours of volunteer work put into that. It wasn't so much maintenance, that was more like an install of a new facility, but there was just that volunteer work is really, well, was priceless. You can't beat the price of the volunteers, but... we've been able to accomplish a lot this year with volunteers. I think more so than we have in the past, and I just wanted to make the board aware of that. The North Bay Christ the King Youth Group wants to come back and continue to work on the amphitheater in the park, and so we're encouraging them to do that. I think we're going to buy some paints for them, and then they'll go paint the materials down there. And really, that's it. I mean, I have a couple more slides. I want to go back to disc golf here in a couple minutes, but we're just very excited about that. We wanted to give you an overview. I think Sam and I are meeting tomorrow with Pat Freeman, who does work on he's our maintenance lead for the city, and we're going to talk about our maintenance program and just the challenges we're seeing there. What I really like to do is by the time the board meets. At our next meeting, maybe we can have a little more information and show them some of these checklists that we've developed and continue to work through that. I think I've showed you some of those checklists about a year ago, but we've been collecting some data, there's some changes, I think, coming to how we do our inspections and those checklists. And so I'm looking forward to talking with all of you more about that probably at the next board meeting. So.
Oh, good. That was one of my questions, if the safety inspections will continue on the parks, all the playground equipment.
Yes, that they absolutely will. And so just to answer your question a little more specifically.
No, I can wait.
Well, no, I do want to just report back. So last year we did have Mr. Pat Freeman certified as a certified playground safety inspector. And so he does do... regularly scheduled inspections of all our playgrounds, and so that will continue to happen. And it's become aware to me that we have another inspection service through our insurance provider that we could use too. So that's what we're going to report on, I think, more at our next meeting. But yes, the playground inspections will continue to happen. Yo, please, yes.
Joan, correct?
Yes.
Joan, the end of last week, I had some time since I was next to the wastewater treatment plant. The marine park was being utilized by our little ones, and I took the time to go out and basically inspect the area for issues, safety. It's amazing sometimes when you work in an area, you get conditioned, and you know, different people come in with different approaches. And I recognized that there were several trip hazards throughout that park. For example, around the park equipment, we have padding, we have a curb concrete between the grass and that artificial pad. And what's ironic is I see the sidewalk, and we have flush grass to that sidewalk, no trip hazard. But the ring, okay, around it has a lip about 3 or 4 inches. And so I see the little ones with sandals, and I see a lot of potential for people stubbing their toes. I saw a storm or sewer manhole that is exposed, the whole frame set. The frame's about 4 inches. I checked some of the rails and recognized that, in essence, we've got a little work to do. And so I'm grateful that the community, when I was there, they saw me with my vest, and they hooked me. And the little guys would say, but the drum set isn't enunciating any sound. The piano, the little girls were saying, I came last week. And so when they see us out and about, they will share with us some of their observations. And again, together with the understanding of our responsibilities, it's going to be difficult because there's a lot coming at us. But I'm very comfortable that we have a system that tracks all of these items so that we are constantly reminded. And so Pat and I and Alex will review these items of work, the scope of work, and we will have to prioritize many of these things based on liability and maintenance priorities. And so I think we have a good eyes and ears out there, and we could always use a little bit to help.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is the overview of maintenance, okay? So maybe we can move on to some new fun ideas here and continue to move through our agenda, but we'll be reporting back on that. So this is a picture of a new garbage can in Lincoln Park in a pet waste station. And if a couple things here. This actually design of the garbage can is much different than what we have in Marine Park. And I guess I would say this is probably more of like an industrial type of garbage can. There's really nothing fancy about it. We have very kind of ornate garbage cans in Marine Park. And why I'm showing you this is because we have taken on garbage service for both the Petway Station and the garbage can in Lincoln Park. And that's basically an additional expense to the city, right? We're paying to have sanitary service do that. And that wasn't a budgeted item. So we're absorbing that cost into our limited budget this year. And it's actually gone really well. We were afraid there'd be packages and, you know, all kinds of things being stuffed in there and it'd be overflowing and all this, but we haven't had that problem. I think even with the disc golf course opening up, we're not seeing overflowing garbage, and it's going quite well. So to transition to the specific request, a local member of the Salishan neighborhood over here has stated that he would volunteer to empty a garbage can if the city could place a garbage can in Salishan Park. And I just wanted to put that out to the board. Maybe you guys could discuss it, and then if that is something you wanted to see, we could evaluate whether we had the budget to buy one more of these garbage cans. With a garbage can, the lid and the liner, they are about $750. I mean, it's not a, you know, Home Depot special. They are cheaper than the ones we install in Marine Park, which are about $1,000. So, if the volunteer followed through on his promise to empty the garbage can, there would be no cost to service it. If the city did want to pick up a cost to service it, it's about $13.22 a month to have it serviced weekly. So that's not a huge fee that we could probably absorb, but what happens is now we already have four of these things that we're paying for, four additional services per month, and so now it's $13.22 times four. And if we had just another one, it all adds up is what we're trying to say. So our policy has always been pack it in, pack it out, but we have actually experienced more usage in Salesian Park, I think a little bit more recently, potentially, and there has been some garbage issues. We have had I've directed Clean Cut to do some more walkthroughs and to make sure the garbage situation is under control down there. But we've gotten some comments from neighbors that there's just been a lot more garbage, I guess, in the park. And so, well, one way to deal with that is provide a garbage service. And really, I'd just like to turn that over the board, and you guys could discuss this a little bit further and see if this is something you would want us to try to pursue or not. So we've been talking for a while, and we want you guys.
Yeah, I was at Salesian Park not too long ago and noticed some garbage on the ground and had that impulse to, hey, I better just pick this up and throw it away, and realized there's no garbage can and recalled, oh, it's a neighborhood park, and that's classified as not coming equipped with a garbage can at this time, as our neighborhood parks are. It'd be nice for that to change in the future. For this particular park, I think it'd be a great idea to have the trash can, and I'm wondering, does Clean cut the grass there?
Yes.
And you said they've been sort of picking up garbage a little bit?
Yes.
Okay. Would they be able to take the trash bags on a regular basis? Like when they come and do the cuttings, could that problem just be solved by Clean Cut?
Well, we would need to pay them for that service, but yes, I mean, technically they could do that.
Okay.
Isn't that what Colin volunteered to do?
Yes.
That's what Colin volunteered to do, but I'm just wondering if there's something that we can build in at the beginning that's guaranteed to be regular and could be scaled up to include other neighborhood parks in the future if we can add additional trash cans. So what the cost for Clean Cut would be to do that?
It's probably more efficient cheaper to have a sanitary service company.
It would be
the trash cans, probably.
Okay.
I mean, it might be comparable, but I feel like Clean Cut's contract is pretty full and adding new things to them. I mean, we could talk to them about
just
it.
Sure, you know,
yeah.
Grab the bag, put it in a new liner, and
yeah.
What they charge for that, I mean, obviously that takes 60 seconds to do. But
And they empty out the trash cans.
Yeah.
So this wouldn't be, a totally new thing for them. And I know they're very... well, passionate about that particular park, too.
But if Colin is gung-ho about doing it and we're able to afford the trash can, it'd be great to just see how it goes.
Well, number one, we don't want garbage in the parks. But if we use sanitary services at our homes, we have to use their cans because they flip them up into the garbage. Would the same thing happen in the park?
No, because we need permanent cans that can't be easily moved around or tipped over or dumped out. So these trash cans are, I think, 550 pounds or something. They're pretty substantial. Why I selected these ones was, one, for that reason. They're very sturdy. That lid fits on there very well. And they're made right here in Whatcom County, so they're easily... sourced, and if there's missing pieces or anything like that, or like something gets broken, there's not a lot to break on them, quite honestly, but we can replace the lid or liners or something like that in a tough case scenario there.
So in a sense, your recommendation is those are the best cans for the park right now.
I really think so. I think it's good if all our garbage cans match, and I think the price and the durability of these Bodie's precast cans are hard to beat, quite frankly. And, it's a trash can. It's not a work of art. I mean, it's good.
Yeah. Okay, so then the sanitary service, if we're using those cans, is out. Is that, am I getting this?
No. So sanitary service services these cans, but they come there, they take the lid off, they pull the whole trash bag out.
They will.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's just like they do it manually. They don't have... So, and I think that's the, Well, it's still a pretty decent rate, honestly, for $13 a month to do that four times.
Can park staff do that, though? I mean, because they could do all the cans in 30 minutes and just put that into their normal workload.
Yeah. Well, we could explore that. I don't know if we can commit to that today. Yeah.
But there's sure. So many other things that the park staff could do besides garbage collection. I hate to take them away from that.
But those are all good options, and if the board wanted us to pursue this, I think what we would do is explore the best options. I think relying on volunteers are great, and like I mentioned, you can't beat the price. But for long term maintenance or long term operations, it's hard to rely on volunteers. You know, someone's excited about doing this. Oh, guess what? You know, something happens. Your kid signs up for baseball, and you're running them out to the baseball field every day. It's whatever it is. It's just tough to keep up. Life changes. Life's busy, and so maybe later down the road, it's hard to stay up on the maintenance. And so we need to have a backup plan for sure. If we're going to put a garbage can in the park, we need to be able to make sure that can gets emptied.
All the garbage cans and all the parks came out of the parks budget or public works?
They came all out of the parks budget, yeah.
And I was kind of surprised that there wasn't a spare one kicking around somewhere that was taken from some place that could be used here.
Oh, we asked about that multiple times, yeah, and there just wasn't anything available, yeah. I mean, we could look in, maybe we could, dig around one more time, but we tried that in Lincoln Park when we were putting these in there. I asked about that, and they said, yeah, please. Yeah.
I really appreciate the positive energy and the ideas, and honestly, if we work together, I think there's a way to accomplish our commitment. And so, from what I'm hearing, we've got a member in our community that said, I'm willing to help. Mm-hmm. Initially, the cost of a garbage can sounds excessive, $500 or $600. I've always asked the question, does the benefit outweigh the cost? And so if this can survives 3 years, it's less than $1 a day. And so, there's that. I would love to, seek the community group that really gains the benefit and ask if they are willing to match, ask if they're willing to donate a garbage can, and so we may be able to work all this together. And so I don't think $500 or $600 is out of our reach. We just have to ask the community for a little help sometimes, or maybe have a little fundraiser event.
Yeah,
I'm all about that.
Okay, I like that idea. Yeah, for the people that use the park, see if they would contribute something. What's been talked about in the past, especially that park, was the fear that people would put their household garbage in there and fill it with that.
Unfortunately, that may be common, but we do have a law enforcement community that I believe is very supportive of those things, and we'll leave that stuff up to them. And so they'll, we might have it occur once or twice, but once we see it become a problem, we'll speak with Mr. King and advise him that this is ongoing, and I believe they're willing to help. And I say that because Ryan, Mr. King, Sergeant King, and I were carpooling to Bellingham, and so we talked about Lincoln Park and some of the dynamics with graffiti and vandalism. And he said, are you aware we have a new chief coming to town? And I said, I've been reading, keeping up on it. So we're very excited. Well, the new chief is not here, but he made it very clear to Mr. King that he's aware of the issues at Lincoln Park and that he intends to implement a bicycle patrol. And so we have their support. So I think that's another challenge that we would probably have, but we would probably overcome it quickly if we responded to it right away.
What's the consensus up here? Do you guys want to do like a straw poll, or you want to make a motion, or what? How do you wish to direct staff to proceed on this one? Pro garbage can? Garbage can?
I would like to make a motion that we have one garbage can, as suggested per the design, placed in Salishan Park and picked up by the regular garbage company. But I would also like to recognize the volunteer who volunteered to do this, that we don't ignore that and move forward with having the garbage can picked up by professional sanitation workers.
Any discussion?
Yeah, I'm still thinking about the volunteer thing. I mean, I'd probably be willing to volunteer every other week myself, too. And one thought I had was probably really simple to set up something like text alerts to anybody else in the neighborhood who would be interested in volunteering to pick up the trash can, or once a week a text just goes out to everyone. It's like, hey, it's time to pick up the trash, and everyone will get that, and somebody can go out and grab it. So it's not just one person. And it's something the neighborhood can kind of be accountable for themselves, and I'm sure there's other people besides Colin and myself that would be willing to do that. But yeah, I also understand just wanting to have it locked in with the contract, to just have it paid for, have the garbage company just pick it up and it's done. You know, it's not going to be missed, and it's not going to, enthusiasm's not going to taper off.
I was thinking more on the line of having the volunteers pick up the garbage and make sure it gets in the can to assist, you know, that it.
Yeah, and I think if there's a trash can, people will do that. Like I mentioned, my visit a couple weeks ago, there was trash on the ground, and I, as I think most of us do, have that impulse to, you know, pick it up, put it in the can. We see stuff that's there in our parks. We don't want it on the ground. It's supposed to be picked up. So I think that will kind of happen naturally. Most people will just kind of tidy up. And
I'd like to see us accept Colin's offer and make him accountable. It's one person. And recognize what he's doing as being a volunteer for that, rather than the service. We could.
That doesn't preclude hiring the service at a later date.
That's exactly right. Yeah, but to have him pick it up, it's a good way for him to get involved in volunteering and in the community as well. And he's not going to move away anytime soon. He's a longtime resident, so I think I'd like to see him be the one to empty it.
Okay. So we want to consider how to actually fund the garbage can, or?
Wow.
Yeah. I can offer a suggestion. It is getting very close to budget time for Blaine. And so these are the items that we can list on our budget request and see whether or not there's funding at the city level. And so truly, these requests should be part of our budget. Identify the $13 times the four clans plus an extra can, and then I feel that I'm very confident that I can gain the confidence from the city council, and it's explained to them there is a benefit that outweighs the cost. And so hopefully, you know, we can not only request one, but, you know, take a look at some of the other areas where they're needed. One of the things that is very discouraging, of course, is to see and waste in these beautiful parks. And so I believe that the you know, you as the park and cemetery board and the city council are in alignment. I believe that. And so they're wanting to hear from us, from you, what our needs are so they can allocate the funding. I don't think we're asking for much.
I would like to rescind my motion because I've heard now from two people who prefer to start with volunteers, and I'm all about volunteering in the park. So, okay, I just wanted it done efficiently, but I rescind.
Let's make a budget.
I still want the trash can, but go with the volunteers and one of you, because I don't live in that neighborhood and they're more familiar with the park. May I rescind my motion?
Sure. Although it wasn't seconded, so technically the motion could just die for lack of.
That's wonderful.
So I don't know if there's a need to do that, but you could make a new motion, or somebody can make a motion.
Somebody that's.
I've never made a motion before. I'll make a motion. I make a motion to suggest a budget request for a trash can at Salishan Park, and also suggest going ahead with Colin's offer to volunteer for weekly pickup.
I'll second the motion.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion's carried.
I do think that, I know this is an extra cost, but I do think garbage service is something the city should provide at parks in the future. So just planning forward, I think we should try to incorporate that, and maybe this brings up where we do have a volunteer garbage program with parks, so it's not an even greater expense maybe or something like that. But
yeah, I would like to ultimately see trash cans like this incorporated as one of the characteristics of neighborhood parks. Right now they're not. I think they ultimately should be.
Well, it would appear that we need a policy change for county parks that gather people and neighborhood parks, don't we?
Well, you know, we might want to look at that at a more global or comprehensive scale, because right now our comprehensive plan parks element does provide different goals or standards for these different levels of parks, as you're saying.
It's categorized.
And these neighborhood parks are not intended to provide garbage service. And while that might not be working real great, quite honestly. So maybe that's worth looking at, I think, moving forward.
While we're on the topic of garbage, Clean Cut advised Alex that there was a problem in Marine Park with overflowing garbage cans. Is there a solution to that problem, do you see?
Yes, getting more garbage cans and larger garbage facilities down there is really the only solution, besides not having as many people. And I don't think that's an easy option. So when you have a popular facility like that, it's just one of the things that goes along with it. And we do have some budget for new garbage cans this year, and those were primarily intended for Marine Park, but maybe we spread that out a little bit to Salishan Park here. So I think that's the solution, is providing more facilities to handle that level of garbage.
So you're saying that that's in the budget?
Yes.
To request more garbage cans for Marine Park?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Can I just add, it's a personal level, but I've had my family here for almost 2 weeks, and I've been at the park almost every day at Marine Park, and it is always well used, and there's loads of people there. I mean, it is really an accredit to our city when you're there every day. You really see the enjoyment of that park. So we must keep it clean.
Great to hear. That's right. Well, let's keep this moving here. This next idea is kind of an interesting one. I provide you a copy of an email from Rachel Ruford, who is, I believe, the president of our Downtown Alliance Association. And basically, they would like to have some more events in the G Street Plaza. There was some talk of like an Oktoberfest type of event. But as we move out of summer, you guys probably know, it does rain a little bit around here. And so providing a covering over the G Street Plaza, even if it's a temporary or kind of like three-season covering type of situation there, that's basically what they're requesting, some kind of sun shade. And talking with Ms. Ruford, they when they were discussing this, they thought it kind of had like a nice, kind of nautical element to it that could complement Blaine. And so basically I just wanted to bring this to the board and see what you guys thought. If this is something that you were interested in, we could look at it. We could start to maybe price it out a little bit more and kind of get a better idea on what it would take to manage some coverings of the plaza. This picture here looks kind of more like a residential backyard scenario, and so we would probably need to be looking at some more like commercial quality coverings. But they're definitely available. They're out there. We haven't really done any research on this, or don't even know how much they cost. Apparently, the Downtown Alliance looked into it a little bit and found them to be not that expensive, but it's hard to tell what they were looking at. If you're looking at the backyard 8-foot wide special deal there. I think we would need something much more substantial than that down at the G Street Plaza. You know, there's pretty good wind and everything in that area too. So I don't know. It's kind of a neat idea. What do you guys think?
Is this suggestion intended to be like a cover for the stepwell pit area, or like just kind of like a few of them around the edge, like over the benches? Is that clear?
I got as much information as you, okay, as you did, and so I think they're just looking for something. I think they're looking to cover some areas that people could, you know, stand underneath and have an event at, really.
Okay.
I don't like the idea at all. It'll block the views from the streets of the water view, and any type of canvas. It's very windy there. It will be constantly being needed repair and torn. And when the wind blows and it's rainy, there's not much, nothing, that wouldn't help at all. That's for sun. The rain will come in underneath it. If you've ever been down the 8th Street Plaza for the Christmas tree lighting ceremony when it's raining and blowing, there's not much you can do to stop it from coming in on you. I don't think it's a practical idea for our plazas.
Okay. The only thing I would add is these are very popular at baseball fields. They do protect you from rain, not so much sideways rain. They're very good for sunshade. They're very durable. Baseballs land on them. They have to protect people and then have to provide the shade and protection from the rain. But they are very popular. I don't know about blocking the view. But they're very durable and very popular these days. But
are you, Janet, when you talk about blocking the view, are you talking about the businesses across the street looking through G Street Plaza?
Since I'm here to speak a little bit about maintenance, I saw the design and the intent, and it's truly beautification and has many benefits. But from a maintenance perspective, I've already got limited resources, and I've been downtown recently, particularly 4th of July event, and we have little critters, the birds. And I thought, how am I going to deter the birds? And I've already got some photographs of some maintenance efforts. The amphitheater is a great location where the wall is just completely saturated with droppings. And that's an issue I'm trying to overcome when I see this being part of my maintenance program.
Yeah. I think the idea is interesting. I think your ideas about it being impractical are probably spot on. If something like that were to be put in, I think this is not really the time to do it. Maybe a couple years out in the future, if there's more of a maintenance budget, I could see how something like these sail designs, a few of these things put up in conjunction with some sort of retail or restaurant space going into the old flower shop next to it, where that area is a little more developed. And that kind of that comes together at once, and that plaza is a little more fleshed out. That would be really cool to see. I think right now it's just too early to worry about doing that.
Okay, I think that's maybe enough information on that. I can get back to Ms. Rootford and express some of those comments to her and encourage her to, you know, maybe come back in the future.
As I said, I guess I feel like they should come with a better proposal. I don't feel like you guys have so much to do. Why should you have to spend time on doing this? They should come with a legit proposal and then present that to the board. But at this time, I'm not in favor of this.
Yeah, sure. Bring us more info.
I really like the idea of G Street Plaza being used more, but I'm not sure sunshades would make all the difference, whether they use it or... because it's local. We all live here. We're used to rain and sun, and there would be a maintenance. And maybe further down the road, investing in umbrellas that are temporary when there is something like that happening, if it would increase the use of G Street. But right now, I'm not too sure about those because of the wind. Something very more temporary, yeah.
Okay, well, that sounds good, you guys. I think we can get fit. Rachel let her know, you know, kind of a fun idea, but we're maintenance, budget, you know, not quite sure about how this really fits in there. And you know, basically that's about it. We're not really at this time, I think.
Yeah, I really, at least the image I have when I picture their idea, like, I actually really love it, but it just seems like we don't have the budget to maintain it, and it'd be a lot of effort to like clean it and repair it with the wind and droppings and things. And not yet.
Well, that covered our new business on our agenda, but I do want to deviate a little bit from parks and share with you one of my observations on the cemetery, if I may. We have a gal that's doing a wonderful job. She's very limited, 69 hours a month, and she works very hard at keeping our burial sites in the cemetery in great shape.
Sam, could you speak up just a smidge, please?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And so this is the cemetery observation that I've been making. We have a gal down there that's working 69 hours a month, and she's doing an exceptional job of maintaining the cemetery, and I'm very proud of her for it. The community, I believe, recognizes that this is a critical infrastructure, the cemetery. We do not have a flagpole. I'm sorry, we have a flagpole, and we, when she's available, make certain that our flag goes up, our American flag, and down. And she's doing this daily, including when she's not here, so I'm proud of her for it. My question to her is, why have we not provided a light at the base so that we leave our flag permanently? And she said, well, there's a little bit of cost. I checked with our power crew, Gus, and he shared with me that many years ago he envisioned that there would be a need for power, so there is power at the street. I asked him if the city forces could trench towards the light pole, and he said yes, but we would need an electrician to run a wire from our dead-end connection in the street to the pole. And so I ask if you have an interest that will allow me to continue exploring this area. And so it's just one of those things that I feel very proud of. My family has served in every conflict since World War I to recent, my son. I currently have a flag in my possession that was flown on a ship that is sunk in Pearl Harbor. And so it was flown on the 4th of July, 2004. My son was injured in combat, and the commander of the Navy fleet gave me that flag in honor of my son's injuries. And so, again, when I look at our community and some of the infrastructure that we maintain and how we are very proud of being Americans, I just feel that we should have a flag out there that is lit 24 hours in the evening. When I drove this morning here, I saw that we have these gateway signs, which are beautiful, that recognize that you're entering Blaine, and they're lit at night. And so, anyways, I wanted your input.
How do you start? Because absolutely.
Yeah. I'm a veteran, so absolutely.
Thank you.
Do you make a motion? Or?
Sure.
I would like to make a motion to let Sam pursue bringing electricity to have a light at the flagpole at the cemetery.
Well, I'll second that.
Any discussion?
Well, Sam, I don't know if he's retired, but Public Works used to have an electrician.
That is correct. That was my understanding. Unfortunately, we went in a new direction, and we currently don't have an electrician on board. But I just worked with an electrician this morning, and he was helping me connect power to the police gate. And so this project will be very reasonable. I'll make certain that I do the best that I can to reduce the cost and utilize the city's services, power services, to the best of our ability. I don't anticipate that this cost is going to be much.
Is this the type of project someone can voluntarily do?
Yes, some of the trenching we could volunteer, but the connection to the power supply source has to be a licensed electrician. And so what's great about it is the electrician we hire only has to make the connection to the light, and then the connection to our power source can be done by Gus. So I coordinate those efforts to reduce costs in our projects with the expertise we have.
Okay.
Okay, shall we take a vote? All in favor of having Sam go ahead with the connecting power to a light for the flag in the cemetery? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
And I'm sure if Garth was here, he'd be saying aye also.
I was going to point that out. Yeah, I think Garth would highly support this idea.
Our other board member not here. All right. I'm just trying to keep up with the minutes. I opened up this map to show you of the Blaine Disc Golf Course. I'm on the wrong computer. So I just want a second here.
Can I just ask before you begin, have you received any complaints? Because we started out with people concerned, but is it all settling in now with our new wonderful project?
Yes and no.
Good answer.
I think the level of concern has mostly dried up. Mrs. Laura Fran did come to the June 25th City Council meeting and had, you know, some pretty pointed things to say, expressing pretty significant concerns about the disc golf course. So staff or council asked for a follow-up report on that, which is what's in your memo here, or what's in your packet of this memo. And I just kind of wanted to tell you a little bit more about the disc golf course. So it's been completed as of June 8th. The disc golf course is a new facility. I think it's one of the kind of more dynamic courses around. A lot of really great terrain. Obviously, it goes through the forest that's in Lincoln Park. So there's old trees and boulders, and a giant glacial erratic boulders in there. Just pretty neat terrain and everything. The course, we've got some feedback from players, and we had there's a tournament on June 9th, the Battle at the Border, put on by the Whatcom Disc Golf Club, and a lot of great feedback from that. They had a couple of slight changes that I'd like to see made to the course with some of the tee box signs and just maybe like clean up the fairways a little bit here and there. But overall, just people were thrilled. It is a very technically challenging course. It's not like a beginner's course. It is a course that was designed on purpose to be a challenging course that would attract players from a wider geographic region, have more of a tournament style course where people could come and play, use larger tournaments. And I'm really happy with it. I think it turned out great. Not everybody is a disc golf fanatic. You know, not everybody keeps score, right? And so you can go up there. I've been up there with kids, and you know, they're not really caring. You know, if they get a birdie or you know they're six over on a hole, they're just having fun throwing the disc. And there's a couple warm up baskets up there, which is a great way to get some kids, or anybody for that matter, to kind of learn the sport, practice on those baskets, and kind of work on your short game, if you will. Besides that one comment at City Council, I haven't really heard anything about it for quite a while. I even met one of the gentlemen that was repeatedly commenting to the mayor and the City Council and myself and other staff members about his concerns that he saw in the park. And he was past it. He's like, I've got other things to worry about now. You know, now I email the public works director about street maintenance issues and other things like that. So he's moved on from that, and he's
focusing on making sure the city's doing a good job in other aspects of our public services. But he, the disc golf course, Blaine Disc Golf Course in Lincoln Park, we're gonna have to keep an eye on it. It is really attracting people. It's getting a lot of usage, and what I would. So maybe I can walk you through this memo real quick. I think some of the things to keep in mind are, and you know, some of you know this, working with Zach, you know, we put together the vegetation monitoring plan that includes 54 photo monitoring points in the park. It's quite a lot. So each fairway we take 3 pictures of, one from the beginning, one from the middle, and one from the end. And then we record those photos, and then we'll do it again in 3 months around the beginning of September, and then again like basically 6 months after that, biannual. And so what that allows us to do is see the impact of the course. So I went out there before the tournament and did the first round of vegetation monitoring and included those photos. We also do a vegetation survey at the midpoint of every fairway. That we would do a 30-foot line that's perpendicular to the fairway, and we just record the plants that are growing along that 30-foot line, and including like the width of the corridor, like the foot traffic corridor, the trail. And then the last but not least, we take pictures of the damaged trees that are out there, or the trees that are in the essentially the line of sight, if you will, essentially trees that are right in the fairway. And so we can monitor any damage that's occurring to those trees. So that's been done. We did that. We have the raw data for that. You know, one sample point of all these different types of data is really not that exciting to look at, so I haven't really presented that to anybody yet. But as soon as we have a second or even a third sample point, it can really start to show those changes over time. I think that will be interesting to look at. And that will allow us to really make some educated decisions on how to monitor that course moving forward and figuring out, okay, maybe this isn't working in this particular area. If we change this, move that, or maybe we need some, potentially if there's like a really nice cedar tree that was getting dinged up, for example, maybe we should put some little bumper guards on it where you take a strip of like 2x2 cedar and you essentially screw it right to the tree, so when that disc hits the tree, it hits that bumper or that little piece of wood instead. And then instead of damaging the tree, it just puts a ding in the bumper. So that's an option. I'd prefer to avoid those if possible, but that's we could always fall back to some kind of mitigation like that if we needed to. I've been back to the park, of course, a number of times since June 8th. I find myself up there a lot these days. But since the tournament, and it's been regularly used, I was hoping I could get Sandra to talk about some of the experiences with this golf club up there. And I have some photos that you took, actually, that we're going to share with the board here in just a second. But there is more of an impact going on. There's clearly being trails blazed as we're intending to go through the course, right? So you walk from one hole to the next, and on that route, there is a trail being formed through the park, as you would expect and we anticipated. In some of those areas, there is some more impact than others. For example, over here, even on hole 15 right here, even kind of cuts up this hill, and there, underneath the water tank right about here on this map. I have some concerns about some of the erosion on the hillside in this area, because people are throwing up and the disco here and the disco there, so people are kind of wandering all over this hill. I think we formed a path for them to kind of walk on and look at maybe kind of stabilizing that hill with maybe some plants or some wood mulch, if it would really help. So we need to do some adaptive management like that. But overall, I think it's going really well. As mentioned in this memo, there's a couple trail crossings, which I think we'll have to keep an eye on how that's working. The first one over here is hole 3, in which people throw quite a ways back in the woods and cross this trail to the other side. you have good visibility when you're in that area, so you can be, or see people approaching from a long ways away. And we put a safety sign up in that area. But and then there's a couple other minor crossings, I would say, but maybe the other more significant one is hole 7, which throws basically right down the trail into this opening in the center area there. And we put some safety signs down at the bottom of the trail here. And you know, no one's complained about any of these issues. I'm like pointing them out. It's like, this is a potential issue that staff sees. No one else has any concerns apparently about any of this stuff. So I think we just have to keep an eye on it. So there is some cross connectivity, I guess, between the disc golf course and the trail. And it's particularly this trail right here. I call this the kind of secondary north-south trail right over here. It's not the perimeter walking trail. And I think we need to evaluate that moving forward. We could potentially close that trail, or we could do something. We could move the disc golf fairway off of that trail a little bit, although it is a little bit tight in there with the other fairways coming up and down the other sides. But it's just something to keep an eye on. Maybe we need to do nothing, Eric. No one's complaining about anything. There hasn't been any incidents. We've had a big tournament, you know. And I think the other important thing, this is a brand new facility. And there's quite a bit of publicity out there with the disc golf community. There's a Facebook page for the disc golf course that is being administered by the Montana kind of Disc Golf Club, the local members. And so they really put this out there. They advertise for this tournament. I think the disc golf community, you know, particularly the community in Bellingham, knows about this. People are driving up here and using this. And it's as a new facility, it's kind of an exciting new thing. You know, once that maybe dies down a little bit, we might not see quite that level of usage, right? You know, it's brand new. Right? After it's no longer new, maybe it won't be used as much. Maybe. Or you know, maybe it'll be used even more because people just love it and continue to use it over and over again. So we have to kind of keep an eye on that. So I don't think we should really make any big sweeping decisions at this time. I think we just need to kind of monitor what's going on and keep an eye on it. So, you know, that's really it. We did some kind of some math, you know, how big the footprint for this golf course is, and it really all comes back. Well, how do you measure it? You know, so we had some assumptions put in this memo, and it says that this golf course occupies about 4.6 acres. And some people would say, it occupies the whole park. I don't really feel like that when I walk through there. I think there's plenty of other space and trails and forest and everything. But,
I laughed out loud when I read the 30-foot figure. Yeah. I think the impact is much wider than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the nature of the sport definitely like necessitates that people are going to be searching for discs and trampling all over the vegetation, which was the first thing I noticed when I was up there. I had fun throwing the course. So much of the vegetation is just being trampled, and all those ferns and stuff is just that's just going to keep occurring through every play.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, keep an eye on that; it's critical. But you know, another issue that's come up is we are opening the park up to people that has never been really utilized for having the public in those areas before, and going in there. There's just a tremendous issue with invasive species. The ivy is just absolutely out of control in there. We have forest management issues. There's all kinds of small dead trees. We try to take out the biggest hazard trees at the beginning of the year, but there's still a whole bunch of forest management that needs to really occur in there. CM has a lot of great background in forest management. And I think that's something that we'll be able to continue to address in a more effective manner moving forward. Been able to monetize up to like what needs to happen there. And I would just kind of summarize it as well, Lincoln Park has just been this walking park and it's essentially been there's been zero forest management forever. He hasn't really managed the forest. So now that we have people in there, we have eyes and ears and people walking through there and families, it's something that we should probably pay better attention to and make sure we're providing a safe place for people.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering to what degree community is willing to lose some of that vegetation and those ferns and stuff. I don't know how many of you have been through Cornwall Park or played disc golf at Cornwall Park, which is a much more matured space, but yeah, there's, you know, not that much underbrush and vegetation you walk through. It's fairly open. Is that kind of the vision that we see, that like eventually those fairways will become more like that, much more cleared spaces?
Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think part of the attraction of the park is all that brush, at least the natives.
I agree. It will necessarily get impacted from people just trying to find their discs and having to walk through it, and most of the time that ribbon is going to be wider than 30 feet, which was the figure used to calculate the impact.
Sure. We realize
be 6 feet.
But then I don't think that we're going to play the 30-foot corridor.
No, I'm not suggesting that. I'm just kind of wondering what the expectation was, or what we're willing to, like, I guess, sacrifice as far as the vegetation there, because it's just, yeah, it's getting trampled. But.
Yeah, and there are some native ferns that are being trampled, but there's also a huge amount of the diamond that's been down.
Yeah.
Our mandate from the citizens was to get more people into the park because the people that use it felt it was spooky and didn't want to be in there. But I admire what you're doing to keep up, but I am also concerned about losing what makes Lincoln Park so neat, and is the undergrowth and being in a forest. So we have to try and balance those two things.
Oh, absolutely, and that's why we have that vegetation management plan. Well,
yeah.
I think your monitoring program, you've bent over backwards and used best practices to monitor this. I think it's exceptional.
Yeah, I was glad to see that was happening.
Yeah.
I do feel like the monitoring plan is quite extensive. And if going into this, I probably would have preferred not to have such a time or such a large monitoring plan that could be quite as much staff time. But now that
Well, I look forward to seeing the results in a year, because we can't tell. Everything grows here so much in the winter.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see in a year what we come up with after their next season.
I think it's also important to point out that we have excavators, loggers, people falling down to see trees, and we had contractors driving skid steers, and working in the park to install this, and there's been such a huge amount of activity in the park this year, even outside of disc golf course, disc golf players, that when you go there, wow, this is a lot of impact here. But like I was saying, this is a brand new facility. Let's see how things look next. And I think it's important that we keep an eye on these new plants and replacement shrubs. Do what we can.
That's a prickly holly. Native prickly holly.
You want prickly bushes in there? Okay, so that was it. Maybe Sam, could you speak for a moment about
Yeah, from an outsider's perspective, if you will, I found it to be very pleasant for the community simply because I believe that these folks that are coming are here to recreate and they're doing good things. In this particular case, I was called out. We'd received calls here at City Hall. We received calls at Public Works that morning that the park needed some help, that there was a lot of garbage that needed attended to. I spoke with Mark, our employee, a part-time employee that helps me facilitate our needs, and he said, you know, I was out Thursday and the garbage cans were empty, so this is Friday morning, you know, I'm looking at the garbage cans, and they were half full on the north end of the park. And so I was asking our employee if he had gone through and picked up the garbage, and he said, no, I'm not certain how all of this garbage got here. So I walked through the south end, and I came across this group, and I was very pleased because they were not only using that park, but they were being great stewards. They filled an entire garbage can full of garbage, and so not only are they playing disc golf, but, you know, as one is throwing the frisbee, the other guys are going through the corridor picking it up. And so I'm not certain how many of these photos that we have, Alex. But again, you know, here you see the gentleman that happens to be from the city of Blaine. He's the guy in the blue shirt in the background. And that's not even part of this golf course. That's a right-of-way. And so I was just thrilled that they're here being good stewards, picking up garbage, and doing the best that they can to promote a very positive image for us. And so, unfortunately, when I got there and did my walkthrough, I couldn't see any garbage. And so I was very... Well, yeah, thank you. You're correct. the report that I received, you know, I wasn't able to witness. The garbage that I did find was unique. It isn't the type of garbage that is being left behind by our park folks. And so it seems to me like we might have some folks that are coming and parking at Ludwig Road and then maybe traveling up to these corridors because there's no garbage cans at Ludwig. It is an attraction for our viewers. And so I'll be working with Raven and working with Michael and the city to see how we can address some of those issues. That morning, I could not find a parking spot, and so that was a good thing. That is the day use in the middle of the day. And so not only did I find folks that were enjoying the park with golf, but there were people that were walking their dogs. It was just a beautiful day. Another item that I've been asked to address in the future from Michael was the pathway. We have a pathway that's not shown here, but it's a beautiful pathway. It is paved, and so one of my action items in the future is to light the pathway, and so there's a lot of things going on here at Lincoln Park, and I'm just glad to be part of it.
There's two picnic tables, the concrete picnic tables, that were moved out of the field, and they're on the edge of the forest. Now, there was talk about plans to move them back. Is that still going to happen, or are they going to be left where they are?
No, we do want to site those into the lawn area kind of on the north side, so there's some spot to pick.
Yes.
We've been trying to find the staff kind of essentially to pour some concrete pads that they can put those on. So until we do that, you know, they're staying kind of put where they are on the side of the trail, which is not the worst spot in the world, but they're not. I would pick that spot as a permanent location, but those were moved as part of the East Plain Infrastructure Project. We remain through that area if you get those out of the way. So they were placed there. We were intending to move those back, and we also want to freshen up the area around that shelter that you can see in the background of that photo that was installed by the Eagle Scout. And, you know, get a picnic table in there, of course, and the community can develop those facilities. So just a lot is, we're not able to keep up with all the change. All right. I wanted to give you guys an update just moving down the agenda, but unless there's any other questions about the disc golf course. This is Skullman Pond, and it's really hard to see. This picture on the left is a probably the recent property line discussion. And is everyone aware? Well, I can maybe recap since Michael's first day here. Is that Skullman Pond? Skullman Park over here is the city's off-leash dog facility over there. Well, there's a park, and within it, there's an off-leash dog facility. city is right by the airport, the old airport property. The city is looking at selling the airport to a developer to park trucks. This image on the left is the site plan, so these would be all truck parking stalls all the way down here on the left. There's this pond here, there's a property line. And we're proposing at this point to draw the new property line around all those trees. And so I tried to interpret what that looked like over here on this image, which is a little bit easier to see. And there's a red line where I'm estimating that new property line to be. And then this pond would be filled in. And so this area where the pond is today, that would remain in essentially a park, or a park-like facility. We would probably put it like a grassy lawn. And so zooming in here, you can see it a little bit better. So we would retain pretty much all those trees next to the pond area. The pond would be filled in, and the park secretary portion would be tasked to come up with essentially a little plan for that area. What should go there? You know, is it, do you guys want a picnic table if you want, like a dog run if you want? Something else. So we're going to need to do that. The property lines haven't been set, so we're not really in a position to really talk to you about that today, but I wanted you guys to be aware of that, and I wanted you to be aware of the outcome. We had a couple of meetings on site. We were meeting with the Grateful Dogs Off-Leash Association. We met with council. There's been a lot of discussion about this, and so I wanted to keep you guys up to speed. And once this property line is fixed, we will have a blank canvas to fill in. I guess it's not entirely blank, but we have trees to work with, and there'll probably be a new lawn area. And we're looking at potentially putting in a parking area, a more formalized parking area over here. All that has to be coordinated with access. There's some work to do here. We also probably want to talk about planning a pretty significant buffer between this park and this truck parking operation. It's actually not just truck parking, it's a truck and trailer repair service. Mm-hmm. So they would probably look along the truck parking. I wanted to make the board aware of that, and if there's any questions, and Sam and I can field those. What do you guys think?
And last night Michael said that the only tree that's going to be taken down is that single cedar tree that's off by itself.
Okay.
Yeah, Zach met with the dog park users with me. That line will then keep all of the rest of the trees there, which is great. I'm really happy for that. But I don't think we have to make any decisions now. I think everybody should go out there and have a look at it and see what it's like, because they can't fill the pond in until they build a new pond, which is going to take a year or more, I would think. So it's a retention pond for the airport, for the stormwater runoff. And with the development, they need a bigger pond, a better pond, down at the south end of the airport property.
Yeah, just to dovetail into that, there'll probably be some connection right here, a trail connecting that will go down to near Pipeline Road, which is past where the storm park ends today, and will loop around this big new storm pond and actually provide trail connectivity all the way back to the Bobble Court on the other side of that pond. And so it'll create a little walking loop in that area, which will be kind of nice.
But will you be able to exit the dog park at the south end? Because
yes.
The gates are very secure on the north end. We have a double system there.
Yeah.
Will we have the same thing on the south end?
Well, we haven't designed anything yet. But
will you?
If you want us to.
Well, I think it's important.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think having some connectivity to the park is really key for that. So, we've done it, yeah. We'll definitely be looking at that.
My only thing is the buffer between where the trucks will be, because there is noise with trucks backing in and out and working on, that we have quite a strong buffer. Because right now the dog park is a very peaceful, easy place to go.
Okay, we'll be working on it. We'll keep you updated. I suspect this kind of might be a slow-moving target for a little while. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a little bit, at least to even sell the land, create property lines and things like that. So this isn't going to happen overnight. But once that all does happen, we'll need to think about whether we need some money to do design work for this, or if this is something that we can just kind of plan out ourselves, and, you know, what needs to go in there and so forth. So
you said you're working on property lines. So is the city willing to add a little bit of footage to include those trees to the dog park?
Well, this is the new line.
This is the most recent.
So they did add a lot.
Yeah.
But that's good to hear.
Before the line was down here, this black line right here. So everything north of this line is going to be sold to the developer, which they would likely cut the trees down. In this case, now we're looking at moving the property line up to this red line, where we retain all these trees in this pond area and this area over here. And the developer may or may not cut down the big cedar tree. He will own it. It will be an unregulated, unprotected tree, but he might like it.
Would the city be taking it on to fill in this pond after the new pond is created, or would that be the obligation of the developer? What's going to occur?
I don't think we have any of those details yet.
Okay.
And so that's kind of being coordinated at this point. I would suspect that the city would probably do some of the work. There was talk about when we did the new pond, we put the spoils, the excavated material from that pond.
Okay.
That's the case that the city contractor would be doing it. But those details are still coming together. They're still trying to pick a price, pick a property line. So it's those are flushed out at a later date. So maybe just a quick discussion on the skate park. This is not the current skate park. This I found is an old photo back in the heyday of the skate park. And when I was throwing this presentation together real quick.
That's a trip.
I kind of stopped looking for photos. I found that one. Okay, that works. It's a skate park. I just wanted to facilitate a discussion on the skate park. But just this July 7th, there was the insane Blaine Skate Jam down there, a local event that we had a couple of years in a row now. And maybe Paul, you want to give us a little update?
Yeah, sure. I can talk about that and a couple of things. That was last Saturday. That went really well, actually. Everybody was really worried the night before because there was rain and lightning and everything, and it dried up. We had a group of kids, 7 or 8 kids, come out in the morning and do a skills clinic, and me and a couple other skaters got to work with some young folks. Some of them just sort of were able to take off and do stuff on their own. Some of them needed some more attention and got to learn some new stuff and get really excited about learning new things that day, and signed up for the skate camp that's happening later this month. We're doing 4 one-hour sessions with kids. That's through Birch Bay Parks and Rec. So definitely got some publicity for that. We did all the best trick contests and stuff and had a ton of people out, had the barbecue. It was just a really fun day, really successful day for everybody. Yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
Great, that's wonderful. So why I kind of want to bring this up, too, is we were planning a pretty significant maintenance project in the skate park. At some point, we're hoping to get it done a little bit earlier, but due to the level of maintenance that we're experiencing, that we weren't able to do that earlier in the season. So now we're basically in the peak summer season, and I think we want to talk to you a little bit about that, potentially maybe delaying that work a little bit, so at least maybe the kids go back to school. We want to be able to do it, but we still have all our parks available, I believe, but I don't know. Look at the board, at the last board meeting, we made the skate park our number one maintenance priority, and we were able to do a lot of work on it. We were able to reinstall some rails, and the infamous crack in the middle of the park earlier in the year, and pulled down a couple more things. And so we kind of got the basic stuff done, but there's a bigger maintenance project. And I'm not sure that we can even get to it at this time, but so basically I think what I want to just have a general discussion with you guys. If you're good with us moving that back, so essentially the September time.
Yeah. Maybe I can speak on that a little bit. Well, first off, I do want to thank Sam. Sam and I met a few weeks ago. I came into Public Works to try to push some stuff for the skate park, and we spoke for the first time, and you really listened to my concerns and came out to the park to look at stuff and helped me make all that stuff happen. And we got those rails back and bolted down, and yeah, that was really great. The project that Alex is talking about is there's one of the larger structures. There's a mini ramp. There's like a back-to-back half pipes. A lot of the material there is worn out. There's holes in it. It's kind of dilapidated. The project would be to take that apart and install the new surface on it, which would necessitate a partial dismantling of it. So all these pieces are coming out. We're exploding the ramp. And so there's a kind of like parts on the ground and around. It would require closing the park, most likely, for that to occur. I don't know how many days that will take, but it would definitely be a period of days. So that's, I think, why my suggestion had been and what the thought is to wait till after the summer to do that, so we don't have to close it for a week during the summer, which I think is the way to go. There's one other thing while we're on this subject that I did want to mention that I've talked about with a lot of people coming in and out of the park is I believe there used to be a water fountain that was tapped in on the top of the fire hydrant that's there at the northeast corner of the park. I'm not sure what it would cost, what it would take yet, but I would really like to investigate putting a water fountain on that hydrant, maybe even something for people, for dogs, like a dog bowl thing, but at least a hydrant for people to drink water. People have to either go to the library to get water, or they go down to the Chevron station and they buy soda or whatever. But next to there's just water on site. So it could be a future project.
Are your facilities good for doing this camp that's happening at the end of July? Is everything good?
Yeah, we have what we need. We have the support of the Birch Bay Parks and Rec, which they have online sign-ups, and they've been promoting it. I've been promoting it online through the Facebook page for the skate park. We have some sign-ups for it. I'm expecting maybe some people will just sort of drop in. We're doing it for free. You may go get a flat of water bottles or something since we don't have the fountain there, but I'm expecting that will go pretty well. And we have some volunteers for that, some extra skateboards, some extra helmets. I think we have what we need. Yeah, the park is in the shape that I wanted it to be for the time being. Yeah.
Can you give an estimate of how many people came to your July 7th, like in total, kids that were participating?
About 7 or 8 for that event, actually. Came down in the morning, we sat on the floor, meet and greet, and then started working together. And there were some other kids that were in and out, but that was about how many actually came for the formal session. Yeah.
A good start.
I think so. Yeah, we've never tried this before. We're just kind of winging it, and I think this will go well and hopefully be something we can do each year and maybe flesh it out a little bit more next year.
Good.
We can definitely look into the water fountain there, but we did have a custom kind of homemade kind of a deal connected to that water fountain. So I'm not sure we'll be able to do that again, but we can look into it.
Yeah, I was wondering. I seem to recall something being there. Maybe you remember what it was. And
it was just a contraption that was like a water dispenser. You twist the little knob, and it had a little water fountain to drink from, on it. But it was hooked up to the fire hydrant with like a pressure reducing valve on it. And so it didn't blow your face off, but it was, I'm not sure it has a, if we want to install that facility or that equipment back in the park without, if there's liability associated with that or what. We need to look into it a little bit more. So it's probably not quite as simple as we used to do it back in the good old days, but we'll take a look at it.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe we could actually buy a drinking fountain. There's an idea, right? So. This next item here, downtown parklets and signage, I just put that on the agenda because I know it's an important item. It's part of our CIP for this year. It's already July.
and we haven't been able to really do that just with basically due to significant staffing cutbacks. We have not been able to, you know, tackle this next project, but I think we're getting to a point where we're going to be able to do that. In fact, we're going to talk to tomorrow with Sam and Pat about this project a little bit more, but we're going to try to fit this into the work schedule at this time. But we kind of have our hands full, basically, is a short answer here. But I wanted to continue to report on this. I'm going to keep it on these future park agendas so it doesn't fall between the cracks or anything. And I think we'll be able to knock this stuff out, you know, in a somewhat timely manner, you know, moving into the future here. But we've, you know, after July 4th, and it's just been really busy.
So maybe in August, the signs will go up?
Well, August is, what, a couple weeks away. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm thinking August, September, honestly.
Remind me, so it is budgeted and you just have to make print, that, you know, get them printed and then install?
Well, it's a little more than that. We need to pour pads for benches and order benches and, you know, picnic table, a couple picnic tables, the pads for that, and, you know, install the post. And, you know, it's more than just ordering signs. And so, yeah. Please.
You know, I really appreciate, you know, the task, because I'm task driven. Some of the challenges that I see for us is, you know, the city's done a great job of not providing me with abundance of staff. Okay, and I say a good job because, you know, it's hard times, and so my staffing levels are not adequate, to be honest with you, for the demands. And this is why we prioritize. In addition to that, I'm facing vacation season. My staff have been working very, very hard. They're very, very committed. And when I have three or four of them gone in a week, I'm running, literally. And so between Alex and I and Pat, and this is why we're meeting tomorrow, is that we don't want to lose sight of the things that we can accomplish with the resources that we have. And so we're going to continue to strike things off of our list, continue to meet with you folks to realign your priorities with our duties in hopes that we can maintain and sustain. The more activities that we get involved, the more demand for our resources, the more demand for our time, the more needs of our community, the support from you and the council. This is how I can implement an annual plan and know exactly how much time it's needed, what the costs are. And so if the level of service expectations are high, but our resources are not meeting that expectation, then the decision makers have truly got to listen to the community and their needs and then apply the budget dollars to their areas based on priority. And so I believe that this is one of the reasons I'm here, is to help facilitate, manage, have a strong understanding of community. They made it very clear to me that the community and employees and several other things are a high priority. And I think we're doing a great job. And so, again, Alex has done a great job of, you know, being your advocate, sharing with me his expectations that he has of me. And I'm grateful for that.
Alex, so we're talking on signage on the corner of Hughes and Bayview. We do have a sign that's got Hughes Park this way, Montford Park this way.
So directional signs, yes.
Directional signs, very nice to have. But people are missing the main entrance into Montford Park, which is along the water, and
no,
walking in that way.
It's not the main entrance. Actually, the parking lot is down your street.
I know that.
That would be the main
entrance. I know that, but I don't want people to miss the walking along the water part, too, because there's no sign that says that's Montford Park. That's my point. We need one more sign.
To be honest, I thought that was all private because I live there, and we go down there all the time. And we don't actually go on the gravel road because I thought it was all private. Is that not private?
No, it's city.
Public.
It's public, and even the 70 feet on this side of the road, which looks like people's lawn, it's a wide easement.
It's an 80-foot wide right-of-way, right, a Montford Avenue right-of-way, and it extends, like, down the bank, really, too. And so that's actually all public, all the way down there. And then there's an entrance to Montford Park with a sign. We just don't have any parking, and there's not adequate turnaround areas down there, so we've avoided sending, you know, directing people with signage to go down there.
But it is a neighborhood walking area, and I don't want people to miss the best part.
But if they go into the park, then they can come out that way and make a loop around.
I hear what you're saying, but a lot of people turn and go that way towards Peace Portal, too, because we have a whole park system that way. And I just don't want them to miss what I think is a lovely loop.
I like those signs. I wish we had more of the directional signs.
Yes. I just don't want to eliminate so that the signs go here and there's still more park over there.
Does a map exist yet of that park? Like a drawn map?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's something that could be placed on a sign that the location you're talking about, that was just like, here's the map so you see, oh, this area along the water is part of the park. This road is public. That'd be very clear. I just wonder if that map exists that could be printed on a sign if we printed the sign that they're asking for.
Well, we're not getting any different installing sign at this time for Monfort Park. We have a map that is designed for our park plan, so it's probably not like informational signage quality. You know,
okay. Okay.
Is
at a glance, oh, all this area in general is, we can go play here. Yeah.
Can I just bring something up when you guys read the minutes? When we discussed, I've been thinking about this since I read the minutes over, when we discussed eliminating, reserving the picnic tables, and I'm all for not reserving the picnic tables, but I thought a lot about the amphitheater. And people that are wanting to use the amphitheater have basically put a lot of input into what they're doing, like they're putting on a show or they've gathered people up. And if they went there and someone else had just walked in, and it was first come, first served, that I don't think is fair, the amphitheater part. I mean, a picnic is only for the day, and big deal, you move to another one. But how do you guys feel about that? Because when I was...
That's a good point.
Did our motion encompass that space?
Hmm?
Did our motion last month encompass the amphitheater?
Well, I didn't...
Is that reasonable?
Yeah, it did. And so I don't like that.
We just did the shelters.
Oh,
okay. So the park special use permit that can also identify picnic shelters if a group wanted to use that? Okay, just any of the facilities.
Okay. So being at council, you feel that would cover if a group of citizens were putting on, say, a play, they can get a special permit if they phone and it's all, their place is reserved. Okay, I'm fine with that then.
There were some typos in that I noticed. Amphitheater and reservable. Just two spelling mistakes. Okay, so motion by Picard, second by Clark, to recommend the City Council that the picnic and amphitheater, don't take out the L, and no longer be reservable. Reservables misspelled. Yes. No. Minor.
Do you catch these spelling mistakes here, or do you like go through and a spell check when you get the email? Just kind of curious.
I read the email and it just jumped at
you. Just jumped at you. Okay.
Yeah. No, I like to look at it before the meeting.
Yeah, I'm glad you did.
That was it.
I move the minutes be approved with corrections.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Did you have any staff updates then?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a quick question. Talk about enforcement. How is the demolition of the building on Peace Portal coming along, the one next to the flower shop? Well, the meeting's adjourned.
Thank you, Janet.